You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming your way today. National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner. He's going to be here at 10:33. He's a retired Major General. He's been on the show before. He served as the number two leader of the National Guard Bureau, and he helped to coordinate National Guard resources in response to natural disasters. Hmm. And he has an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today about FEMA and administrations responding to crises and natural disasters. It should be a very interesting conversation. He will be here at 10:33, 11:06, Dan Schaefer, of course, from the recombobulation area will be here. We will recombobulate with Dan. 11:33, we're going back to something that we did last week. We have a Grift of the Week update. And then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Jabba the Musk edition.
Very good. Yeah, that's Jabba what I put Musk on there. Edition. Yeah, and Jane, what is that referring to?
That is referring to the Matinair on Air mascot provided by our friend Scott.
There it is.
In Shorewood.
Good job.
He and a friend made our own mascot. It is a little plastic statue of Elon the Musk's face on Jabba the Hutt's body. It really works well.
Wouldn't you call it our mascot?
Nice.
Calvin, did that even impress you a little bit? Nope, not at all. I cannot seem to make the youth of today laugh.
Yes. So anyway, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Jabba the Musk edition, coming up at 11:51 next hour. So I hope you can stick around for that. A reminder as well, Wednesday, October 16th is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail. So make sure you have a plan to vote, whether you're going to vote early, in person, day of. Check your registration status. Make sure you're registered. If you're not registered to vote yet, please do so. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and it is a very, very simple thing to follow through.
It's great. It's a great website. I go to it a lot.
Yeah, it's very useful. And again, just to make sure that you're still registered and you are still on the voter rolls, in other states, I don't know, 400,000 people, whoosh, just all of a sudden they're gone.
Yeah, it's coming out to be across the country millions now.
So again, myvote.wi.gov. Check that out today. We're going to start off with Derek Van Orden has an opinion piece, a really long opinion piece, in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Derek Van Orden, of course, in the third, his challenger this election is Rebecca Cook. Derek Van Orden, famous around these parts, I would say, for yelling and cursing at Senate pages who were doing nothing more than taking photos of a ceiling in the chambers, which is a tradition. Otherwise, I don't know that he's done all that much. He certainly doesn't seem to be pushing through the farm bill.
Well, and that's the thing that honestly, like, you know, the motorcycle wiping down, the yelling at Senate pages, the drunkenness, the being at January 6th, the day of on site in flak jacket and all the things. Honestly, none of those things anger me as much as the fact that A, he sits on the Ag Committee,
yeah,
and B, touts it as if I'm here for the farmers of Wisconsin. He has done yuck squat about them. As, honestly, I mean, really this country, this our legislative elected officials have done yuck squat, yeah, for them. But the fact that he uses them as such a puppet to, I'm here for you. What have you done? What have you done? Done.
Name one thing.
Yep.
Well, he has many opinions. He has many thoughts in today's piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We thought we'd chew on just a few of those, including this one. The Biden-Harris administration has destroyed U.S. energy dominance, and every Wisconsinite has felt the effects of their America Last energy policies, We must return to an America First energy agenda. Wisconsin families cannot afford another 4 years without it. Isn't it handy that we have had Matt Randolph on our show, otherwise known as Mr. Global, who is a globally recognized expert in the oil and gas industry? He actually owns his own oil company.
Yeah.
He's been working in this industry for 30 years. He has enough facts.
Facts.
Not opinions. He has enough facts to pretty much annoy people on all sides.
Yeah.
Which I think is a wonderful attribute if you can have that. Kevin, we have a clip from Mr. Global talking about America being energy independent. Let's play that clip, please.
First of all, we absolutely became energy independent under Donald Trump. It's very simple. Energy independence is when you produce more energy than you consume. That's the definition. That's it. Nothing else. Stop trying to think of other ways to define what energy independence is. It's when you produce more than you consume. And in 2019, we produced 0.2 quadrillion BTUs.
0.2.
More than we consumed.
0.2.
Today, we're producing 9.24 quadrillion BTUs more than we're consuming. So we are unbelievably more energy independent today.
0.2 under Donald Trump, 9.7 under the current administration. That seems more.
Calvin, Jane, listeners, I know that I'm not good at mathing, but 9 seems way more than 0.2.
It does seem more.
And hey, you know what? Listen to me right now. I'm glad that the country could get energy independent and it was under Donald Trump. Good work. I doubt that he had much to do with it himself, just as I think that probably Joe Biden or any other president, it's the work we do through the companies and whatnot, but you can't paste it like, oh, we were energy independent during Donald Trump, then everything went to pot.
Yeah, that's not true.
No.
That's not accurate.
No,
that's not a thing.
Nope. We need to have a lie button or a lie sound like ding, 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 lies.
Well, Daniel Dale from CNN, I don't know how he does it because he does a lie check on every Trump rally. And the latest one, he was in Detroit yesterday, and it was a really nice moment. And if you were listening to Earl's show, I'm sure you heard this already. You always want to go to a city and then insult that city.
Absolutely.
When city officials are standing right with you. It's a really warm, fuzzy thing. What a great way to read the room.
But what's great is that the mayor wrote a piece about it and said, look, crime is down. People are returning. Economy's going well. Cool. Let's be like Detroit.
Let's be Detroit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are talking right now, however, about Derek Van Orden and his opinion piece in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He says, we need to go back to being energy independent. We already are. We currently are energy independent. Another thing he says in this piece, as a veteran, many of the men and women I served with took their own lives. Tragically, we know that's true.
Yeah.
So I personally understand more must be done to support those struggling with their mental health. We must address this problem at the root. Increasing access to mental health resources is an absolute necessity. We agree with you. Unfortunately, it's always they talk a good game.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually funding those resources, that just seems to not happen.
He loves to use his military service. And that's the thing is you know, he was a Navy SEAL. Great. But at this point, he has used his service in such a way to denigrate other people, Tim Wall specifically, but other people who don't agree with him, that this is all hollow to me and offensive, because if you really cared that much about your soul, your brothers and sisters and family members in the military, that would be like top of your list.
Yeah.
Top of your list.
The Journal Sentinel did send questions to Derek Van Orden and I believe Rebecca Cook. They do this with all of the candidates. So he was asked about gun violence because gun violence is the number one killer of our children.
Yep.
That's not hyperbole. That's a fact.
Yep.
Gun violence is the number one killer of America's children. So on the issue of gun violence, Mr. Van Orden says, in addition to equipping police officers who serve our communities at large, we need schools staffed with school resource officers. In the event of a crisis, school resource officers are the first line of protection. There is no excuse to not have them in our schools. Doesn't talk anything about increasing gun safety measures.
Nope.
There's no mention of universal background checks. There's no mention of red flag laws. None of that. Just school resource officers.
And school resource officers can be helpful, but they can also be very, very problematic. And there's a lot of evidence out there showing those SROs patrolling schools like a king or queen. And so that, to me, is also not the automatic fix.
Also on the issue of healthcare, which is a big issue for all of us, healthcare, according to Derek Van Orden, absolutely needs to be made more affordable. It has to be done in the right way that protects patient choice and improves quality of care. Enforcing price transparency on hospitals and doctors will allow everyone with or without insurance to shop around and find services within their budget. Too often people are hit with unexpected, incredibly expensive healthcare bills. By requiring providers to be more transparent about pricing, families can make informed decisions about their health without worrying about out-of-budget medical bill hitting their mailboxes. I agree with that.
I agree, but
I think transparency in billing would be great.
Yeah. Cool, but...
This is where it makes me go... Folks should make their own personalized decision based on what fits their healthcare needs. They do not need the federal government making those decisions for them. Apparently, that's only true if you're not a female. If you're a female, the federal government should actually absolutely be making your healthcare decisions for you ladies, because we're so silly.
And when they start making healthcare decisions for ladies, who's next? They can start making decisions for other people. Kids. We know what your kids need more.
Well, they were already doing that.
Yeah. You know, it's once again, this is hollow. It's all hollow. He won't debate Rebecca Cook, so he's going to put all his points into an op-ed.
But he's a big, brave, strong former Navy SEAL. Is he afraid of Rebecca Cook?
If you keep on disrespecting him, he's going to call us and yell at us, okay?
Derek, call.
Please.
You're welcome on the show.
Oh, my God,
call. Anytime you like. It would be interesting.
It would be a very fun chat.
Coming up, Governor Evers. It's getting testy.
Yeah, and he's got buddies.
He's a little feisty. We'll explain. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner will be here. He's a retired major general, and he also helped to coordinate National Guard resources to respond to natural disasters. He has an opinion piece in today's Wall Street Journal about different administrations and their approach to disasters, which has been, of course, a big discussion this week after the nightmare that portions of the Southeast and Florida have been blasted with these two hurricanes, Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't sound like a hurricane name. But if you would like to help, if you would like to make a donation and help those folks, they're going to need help for a long time. It's going to take forever to even just clean up, much less rebuild. Go to civicmedia.us/help. That will take you to a page where we have direct links to certified charities, including World Central Kitchen and the Red Cross, if you would like to make a donation. But anyway, also from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Jesse Opoyan, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers joining a group of Midwestern governors today criticizing former President Trump over new reports, and these were confirmed.
Yep.
This has been confirmed by the Kremlin to Bloomberg News. Donald Trump said COVID-19 testing machines to Russian President Vladimir Putin at a time when things were in short supply and Americans could not get them. But he wanted to make sure his buddy Vlad was covered. So here is this letter. It also includes Governor Evers, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer in their joint statement, quote, putting pride and partisanship aside individually and as a group, we repeatedly requested President Trump step up and come to our constituents' aid in the way only the federal government could. We were repeatedly rebuffed, mocked, and told there were no supplies to be had. In desperation, we turned to private companies using money from our state treasuries to buy what our people needed. The governors accused the Trump administration of having completely abdicated responsibility, ignoring their requests for getting testing kits, ventilators, and N95 masks. I remember very clearly during COVID, during the pandemic, and Donald Trump saying at one point that if the governor calls him and they're not nice to him or they haven't been nice to them, he may not take their calls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's... That man is nothing but holding grudges.
Absolutely. That's, gosh, his whole life is one big grudge.
Yeah.
And one big complaint.
And while Americans are getting sick, dying. How bad was it? Even Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump to not say anything to anyone because he was Vladimir Putin in a moment of empathy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Was saying they're not going to like you for that. They don't care about me. They're going to care about you. And if they find out, they're going to be upset at you.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. If Trump supporters, I don't think this upsets them at all. Like, they love Vladimir Putin.
Well,
they're Putin fans.
Now they are. But in 2020, we were still like, are we? Remember when we feared nothing more than communist Russia. And then everything seemed to be fine. And then Vladimir came in and everyone else was like, this guy is terrible. And we thought we were like, and then Donald Trump came through and was like, he smoothed that over. He reinvented Putin. Yeah.
Well, he certainly has helped remake, his image,
yes.
which is not good.
No.
Vladimir Putin is former KGB.
Vladimir Putin is a dictator.
But Trump really likes him. He seems to have a tendency to really like people with those authoritarian tendencies, like Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un and Xi of China.
And Viktor Orban of Hungary.
Loving on some Viktor Orban, boy.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord, nothing better than diminishing rights and suppressing your people.
Well, I think this is an important piece that was published in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Governor Evers, Whitmer, and Pritzker, about the lack of response under the Trump administration during the COVID crisis. This is what a second Trump term would bring.
Yeah.
If we're in a swing state, but our governor is a Democrat. So if we have tornadoes blast through next summer, your community gets wiped off the face of the earth, and we go and ask for federal assistance, is Trump going to give us that money? Because our governor is a Democrat.
What will happen, it will probably be like January 6th where he won't, or he'll sit there go, did they vote for me? And he'll wait and wait and wait. And then when he finally has to, because someone in that room will push him to the point, he'll then say, I helped you. I saved you. I did it. He did the same thing at January 6th. He didn't do anything for hours. And then finally he does something and he swoops in like, I saved everything.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll probably see, is him sitting in the Oval Office watching television and saying, show me the numbers. And he won't look at the numbers. They'll show him some colors. But that's what will happen. That will happen.
And you're right. He would absolutely take credit for it then.
Yeah. Yes. But you won't see Democrats. You won't see sane people at any point if that scenario happens, Jane, saying, well, Donald Trump went into NOAA or the National Weather Association or any place like that and turned on the weather making machines and hit us with a tornado because we didn't vote for him. That'll never happen. We won't say that.
That's because they don't know how to run the machine.
You're right.
The Republicans weren't given the manual for the weather machine. We talked about that yesterday.
Sorry, Greg. I wasn't listening.
We talked about that yesterday.
I was thinking about Jabba the Musk.
There is a weather machine that the government controls, but they don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
It's a very big manual, I understand.
It's just a big button that says on.
News is coming up next. When we return, we're going to be talking to Randy Manner, a member of National Security Leaders for America and a retired major general. It will be a very interesting conversation. Please stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Maggie Dawn's show from 2 to 4 p.m. She has great guests every day, but today she will be joined by historian Heather Cox Richardson. She's fantastic. She's the author of the number one Substack, Letters from an American, and they're going to be talking tax policy today. So I would highly encourage you to check that out, Maggie Dawn's show today from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Delighted to have our next guest return. He's a member of National Security Leaders for America. He's also a retired major general. He served as the number two leader of the National Guard Bureau and also helped to coordinate National Guard resources in response to natural disasters. Randy Manner is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. I am very happy to be here. Absolutely.
Well, you just got off a bus tour. You and a number of other National Security Leaders for America were actually in Wisconsin. You made a stop in Madison and La Crosse just a couple of days ago. For people who don't know, Randy, explain what National Security Leaders for America, who are you?
Of course. So we're an organization, a bipartisan organization of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, composed of over 1,000 generals, admirals, senior enlisted leaders, ambassadors, senior executive service members, as well as some political appointees from both parties. And we are, quite frankly, the best way to phrase this, we typically have been on the sidelines our entire, well, first of all, by law, we spoke out up not at all about right. politics while we were in the military or in government service. Since we have all retired, we are now upholding our oath of supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we are united in supporting those candidates that believe in the concept of democracy. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. Do you support the concept of people voting and encouraging people to vote? And that's why we support both Republicans and Democrats across the country.
But you are particularly concerned about the possibility of a second Trump term.
Oh, we are united. Let me clarify. We are absolutely 100% united that Trump must never, ever, ever be the commander-in-chief and president of the United States ever again. We are 100% united, all of us, no matter whether Republicans, Democrats, or Independents. We are united in supporting Vice President Harris and Governor Waltz for the president and vice presidency.
I just want to repeat that one more time. There are over 1,000 former generals, admirals, ambassadors, political appointees of all political stripes, Republicans, Democrats, independents, over 1,000 of these experts all agree that Donald Trump should never get back into the Oval Office. Now, you have an opinion piece, Randy, this morning in the Wall Street Journal, in particular about natural disasters, of which you have had some experience.
Yes, yes. So as the acting vice chief of the National Guard Bureau back in 2011 and 12, my job was to help support the adjutants general in the states, to support the governors with National Guard resources, as well as coordinating in the Pentagon the money to back it up so that our citizens in affected areas could be helped and rescued both during the disaster and afterwards, to work hand in hand with FEMA in support of the governors of each state. And so it is very, I guess the best way to put it, is near and dear to my heart, the value that our government can bring to affected citizens.
It must just make your head explode when you hear Donald Trump out on the stump this week saying that FEMA's not there, they're giving people $750 and that's all, and there's no help for people who have been hit by Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton. And yeah, it's just, that's not true.
So not only is it not true, I mean, not true, they're 100% lies. Not somewhat lies, all of them are lies. I have been there, I have done that. I have coordinated all of the National Guard resources of tens of thousands of guardsmen for various natural disasters, to include the money to back it up. And then, as I mentioned, in combination with FEMA, because remember, the lead agency for disaster recovery is the governor of each state. And so the federal government supports the governor with resources. So the fact that Trump is literally spreading these lies and innuendo, first of all, it's indicative of the way that he thinks. If it's not about him, he literally is doing this on the backs of, in many cases, the very people who support him. Because the people who believe what he says, unfortunately, and refusing the aid, are exactly the kind of people that probably need it the most. So it breaks my heart. I've talked to so many people who have family in the affected areas, and they, parents typically, but other times brothers or sisters, who believe Trump emphatically and deny the ability for anyone to speak with them about possibly helping them for fear that their house will be taken or some other terrible thing could happen. It's just such a, it's the ultimate icing on the cake of the tragedy of the falsehoods and lies that he spreads that are hurting his very own people.
What a betrayal.
I'm shocked.
What a betrayal.
Oh, it's a betrayal of his own people.
Yes.
And you know, the one thing that bothers me so much, so very greatly, is I did this 5-day tour endorsing like-minded candidates from Pennsylvania across to Michigan and Wisconsin and so on, is just the fact that, I mean, I've done so many interviews, and there's four factors that I think are very important for the average person to hear, your listeners to hear, is that what we are dealing with, unfortunately, is a classical cult situation. And what are the four most important aspects of when someone's part of a cult? The first indicator is members of the cult deny they're a member of a cult. That's the first one. The second factor is that they believe everything their great leader says. They believe everything to be true. The third factor or indicator of a cult is that anybody who speaks ill of the great leader is the enemy and should be chastised and basically
jailed. He's fond of jailing people who aren't nice to him.
Oh, and our list of 1,000 is probably where he would start, quite frankly.
Yep.
And then the fourth factor is that anybody who leaves a cult is the absolute worst possible enemy and must be hunted down and disparaged, which is exactly what Trump does with, for example, Vice President Cheney or Representative Congresswoman Cheney, and just quite frankly, hundreds of other people who have come out from the Republican side, many who have served him directly and said, oh my God, this guy is a cult leader, and he is a danger, a clear and present danger to our country.
And sir, that's something we've talked about many times on this show. And I think one of the other aspects of a cult is the leader gets to change the rules anytime he or she wants. Yes. And these individuals who came into the fold years ago and were part of the plan and were great helps, the moment they walk away, or they're just not even good enough, or they somehow contradict him or criticize him, they're off the table. To me, says to the most fervent supporters, fine, you want to support him, but he will change the goalposts on you. In fact, he's doing that now, even with the disaster relief, changing, like spreading these lies. And then in years later, he'll probably say, I helped you. And they'll be like, yes, you did. So
right. It's
just always a changing scenario. And you can't, and in a cult, they say, you also never feel happy. You're always on edge about what's going to happen next. How is the leader going to be mad?
Right. You're always, and not only that, usually parts of cults are that they are angry people. Mm. Now, look, I'm an older white guy. For those of you who are not watching the podcast here, but on the radio, I'm an older white guy. But the worst offenders are older and younger white men, which I just don't understand. But part of it is I do. That they feel disenfranchised or the people are not listening to them. They want a strong man. I understand those components. The sad news is, the very sad news is, that it's causing hate and division in communities, in families, and that's not the kind of leader that we want to follow. We want to follow someone that's going to be hopeful and someone who's going to say, we're all going to get a chance to get to the start line together and then go on from there. Because if you really think about it, and Jane and Greg, what Americans want, they want stability. They want good jobs. They want to feel safe in their home and in their community. They want a good education opportunities for their children and for their grandchildren. They want to be treated fairly and equally under the law. And that is what Vice President Harris, and quite frankly, every other president in history other than Trump, every other president has worked hard to work for all Americans to provide that opportunity. And so I think this is, again, it's a clear and present danger. I'm not holding back. I encourage everyone to not only exercise your right to vote. And by the way, this is not about policies or politics anymore. So if you're a Republican listening to this, who's voted Republican for 30 or 40 years or 4 years, whatever, I encourage you, along with literally the thousands of people that I have actually heard from in the past 3 months, I encourage you that this is the one time to put politics aside and say, do you want to vote for a wannabe dictator who has said it by himself
out loud?
Be that.
Yep.
Out, yeah. And that he will be vindictive and he will go after people and he will silence the press. He's already threatened the New York Times. I mean, he threatens anybody who doesn't agree with him. This guy, and I know people don't like hearing this, but it is the absolute same playbook of appealing to young men and young white men and disenfranchised older men that Hitler used from 23 to 33. It's the same kind of a playbook. But remember, cult members don't see this.
If you're just joining us, our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner, and he is a member of the National Security Leaders for America. They just did a bus tour swing across parts of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and here in Wisconsin with stops in Madison and La Crosse. And you have an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today, Randy. We're going to put that in our show notes after the show is over.
Yes, thank you.
But because now we're so fresh off of Hurricane Helene and Milton, and you helped to organize disaster responses when you were still in the government, and you talk about Project 2025 and what this would do. Not only do they want to get rid of NOAA and make you pay to get a forecast, but they're going to completely upend how FEMA is funded.
Right. I mean, the sad thing is, look, I'm what you refer to as a fiscal conservative, and yet I'm also a social liberal, meaning that I believe we only need enough government to get by. which means there's many states, unfortunately, across our great country that don't believe in environmental protection for their citizens. There's a lot of people who don't believe in education standards that are sufficiently high enough to provide good education and good jobs. So we need parts of government to provide for certain standards to raise us up as a people and to provide great opportunity, not only in the local community, but internationally as well. And with that idea, Trump is trying to get rid of the federal government, get rid of the safety nets, reduce Social Security, reduce the idea of disaster recovery. How can poor states, no offense, but predominantly in the South, in Florida, for example, with no income tax, how the heck is Florida going to pay for all of this recovery if indeed there is no federal government to help?
We're going to continue this conversation with retired Major General Randy Manner. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Wednesday, October 16th, this coming Wednesday, is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail. So do it. Register now. You can register the day of. It's easier if you do it in advance. Go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov, and get registered to vote and make sure you have a plan to vote either early or by mail or in person on November 5th. Delighted to have our next guest return on the show. Retired Major General Randy Manner is here, also a member of National Security Leaders for America. And this is a group made up of 1,000 retired ambassadors, generals, admirals from all political stripes, Democrats, Republicans, independents, you name it, who are all in agreement that Donald Trump is essentially an existential threat to our country and should never be back in the Oval Office again. Randy, you have an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today. I want to go back to Project 2025 and what this would do to people who experience natural disasters. We have tornadoes here in Wisconsin. We have flooding here in Wisconsin. So this would also push to privatize disaster relief. So what does that mean?
So I think it's very important for every listener to understand that I do believe in the power of the private sector. At the same time, I also believe that the government is going to be there when you need them. And so the idea of decreasing the government and not permitting this, you know, the one thing about, it's like a life preserver, you know, that life preserver sits on your boat or on a ship if you're on a cruise or something, and you don't really need it till you need it.
Yeah.
And then you need it.
Big time.
Well, that is what the federal government is for. Whereas with a private sector, they might go, you know what, lowest bidder, you know, not so much. Yeah, whatever. No, we want people that say on their uniform, U.S. Army, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Navy to support you. We want FEMA to be able to support you for it. So, and then it always, when you privatize things, quite frankly, having the states pay for this is very, very dangerous for the poorer states. And that's, I'm looking at this from the entire country.
Right.
I am not looking at this from one single state, because no offense, you know, I live in the state of Virginia right now, but I've lived, because of the military, across the United States and across the world. I could say, hey, screw Florida and screw Alabama and screw all these other states, but that's not the way that we should think. We the people of the United States. We are in this together. The poor, the rich, those that, quite frankly, don't have the means or that do have the means. Doesn't matter what your education level is. We got to come together and think about it, not just yourself.
Sir, I used to work in city government, and I always think of when we looked at privatizing a specific service, garbage pickup, we found out not only was it going to be more expensive, but we couldn't rely on the same quality. And so that notion of privatization for everything, I always think of that one little example from one small city in Wisconsin in the United States. It doesn't prove anything to me.
Well, and the other thing in your opinion piece today, Randy, in the Wall Street Journal, is it's going to change. So currently the federal government supplies 75% of the funding for FEMA, and the state is responsible for 25%. Project 2025 is going to flip that, and the federal government then will only be in for 25%. And these states, as you pointed out, Randy, so many of these states that get hit by hurricanes are poor southern states. Where are they going to come up with 75% of this funding?
Well, they're not. They're not. And that's why, Jane, if I could bring this back around again as we're heading up here for the hour, is there were two songs that were played by Greg and the guys here. One was 10 years after, I want to save the world. I heard that in high school. I'm dating myself. But it says, I want to save the world, but I don't know how. And the second song is by Nickelback, What Are You Waiting For? And it's basically saying, hey, now is the time to act. And the idea of I don't know. I want to save the world, but I don't know how. I'm going to tell you exactly how you can do it. Is you can vote. Number one, vote. Every registered voter out there needs to know they need to vote for Vice President Harris and Governor Waltz. That's number one. Number two, I urge every listener to call or email or use social media to reach out to 10 people and ask them, have you voted yet? Please go do so if you have not done so, and ask them to get 10 other people. This is going to be about voter turnout.
Yes.
There's almost no one who doesn't know who they're going to vote for. However, it's also true that some people are saying, why should I vote? They're throwing up their hands instead of, as was said, they're throwing up their hands like, I don't know what to do, instead of rolling up their sleeves and saying, I am going to go vote. That is what you can do to save the world, and I mean it.
This will have global ramifications. A second Trump term will affect the global order. We don't have nearly enough time to even touch on that. Retired Major General Randy Manner, thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you so very, very much for your service and for getting out there and spreading the message. Hopefully we can have you back after November 5th and have a different kind of discussion.
Jane, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure as always.
Thank you so much. News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation area. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.